The following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
The following production of the Bang Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Bang Radio.
Bang! Bang! Bang!
Gobble gobble on this, man.
Do the bang thing. Do the bang thing.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
Hey, Browns. Mike Polk, season ticket holder. You are wasting valuable space on our majestic shoreline, and what do we get out of it from you? 10 miserable games a year, including 2 preseason games that I have to pay for, and 1 shitty Kenny Chesney concert.
Where does Tom Brady rank on your all-time list, Troy Aikman?
Well, he's awfully hot.
I think Troy Aikman's a queer.
Hello.
13-year NFL vet, Super Bowl participant, 6-time Pro Bowler, Donovan McNabb.
I've been just going home.
Bacon. You know, brothers, you know, I'm Bacon.
I got
you know,
I love
Bacon.
You're going
to
love this.
Bacon.
As a white man, I have to take a stand. I remain outraged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah! No, stop it.
I'm going to whip my ding ding out.
And now, here's John and Tom.
On a play fake, back to throw. Deep ball down the right side. He's got Odell Beckham Jr., who dropped it at the 10-yard line.
Wow, that's a rare drop.
Fourth down for the Giants. 4th and 5 at the Carolina 14-yard line. Manning takes the snap, back to throw. Throws one left into the end zone, and it is caught for the touchdown by Odell Beckham Jr. 14 yards on 4th and 5, and the Giants have come all the way back. Graham Gano, with 5 seconds to go, will try a 43-yard field goal. Gano from 43 yards for the win. Snap. Spot. The kick is up, and it's good. Carolina Panthers have gone to 14-0 in the most dramatic fashion you can imagine.
Little bit. They got close, man. They almost blew it. Almost blew it.
You know, the Giants, they do that shit.
I know.
Tell you what, you know what I liked about watching right after Beckham caught his touchdown where he marched around like a goddamn schmoo?
What's that?
Was when they cut over to Cam Newton on the sidelines and he just kind of stuck his chin out and nodded his head up and down.
Oh, yeah, he's ready to ball. He's ready to ball. You know he's going to get on the field and get it done.
He got it done.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that game, specifically the stuff that went on in that game coming up. Also, Snoop Dogg is pissed at Chip Kelly and the Eagles. This is hilarious. People are coming down on Matthew Stafford's wife. Man, she is a cutie. Have you seen her?
I was trying to come down on her myself. But, security kind of got in the way.
We're going to hear from Matt Millen as well. But first, I want to talk about something. The NFL has now said they're going to take a much closer look, John, at catches and what constitutes a catch. And I'm thinking,
right.
Oh God, more rules. Just what we need. More friggin' rules.
They're going to try to simplify it. Honestly, they've got Ken Whisenhunt. They've got, what was the guy that got fired from the Dolphins job in week 3? Oh shit. Philbin. They've got Philbin. Philbin's in there going to tell him what a catch is.
Right.
They've got some old referee. You know what you do? You get like 5 10-year-old kids in there. You get 5 kids that play football in the street and you get them in there and they'll tell you what a catch is in about 5 minutes.
Yep. It won't take about 5 seconds.
Yep. And if you don't catch the ball, they'll let you know quick.
Very quick. So let's, I want to call Jerome Boger. You know who Jerome is.
Yes. He's the name you dread seeing when your team is getting ready to get on the field.
Right, right. But I want him to explain exactly what a catch is to us.
That would be good. I'll see if he even knows.
All right. So let's get him on the phone here because we got everybody's phone number, even Jerome's.
Hello.
Hi, is this Jerome Boger?
This is Jerome Boger. I am an NFL official.
Yes, I know. That's why we're calling. This is John and Tom from the Bang Radio Hour. How are you, Jerome?
Well, I'm obligated to say that I cannot comment on how I am because I am an NFL official.
Okay. Well, can I ask you something that is not specific to any team but directly related to officiating?
Sure, I suppose. You called me. Go ahead.
Well, there's been a lot of controversy around this catch and that catch. You know, I know you know about, you know, Dez Bryant in the playoffs at Green Bay last year. Everybody's still arguing about whether or not that was a catch. Now the NFL's looking into what constitutes a catch. They want to make sure they get it right in the playoffs. And I thought I just thought it'd be a good idea to ask an expert like yourself. You know, when you're watching the game on the field, what, I mean, tell me, what constitutes a catch?
Well, I got to tell you, for one, it's a good thing you called me because I'm probably not going to be working in the playoffs. I'll have time to talk to you anytime you want.
Oh, good. Very good.
There's a three-step process that goes into making a catch that we officials have to all pay attention to as a group. First, you have to have a pass. If you don't have a pass, the chances of there being a catch decreased by something like 30% or something like that. So my first responsibility in determining a catch is to make sure that the offense throws a forward pass.
Okay.
So after the ball has been passed, I look to see if the potential receiver makes what we call in the business the catch, which really is pretty simple. Like I said, it's a three-step process. He has to possess the ball, and that's kind of simple, don't you think?
Yes.
He has to hold the ball in his hand.
Right.
Or in his teeth, or under his arm, or between his legs, or tucked up under his chin. It really don't matter, as long as he has it before it hits the ground.
Right.
Then he has to get 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 feet down. I don't know. It all depends on the situation. Like, that sounds pretty bad, but let me explain. For example, say I'm doing a game, and it's the Cleveland Browns against the Dallas Cowboys.
John, I might ask you to shoot me in the head at any moment.
And let's say the Cowboys is up by a field goal and time is running out, but the Browns are driving. See, in those cases, I make sure the Browns receiver gets his feet down 3 or 4 times, like 6 to 8 steps or something, because it's the Browns, and nobody wants to see them drive on the Cowboys at the end of the game, you know? But so for, like, other times, we have to make what's called a judgment call. So, like, if it's the New York Giants and they're throwing it to Odell Beckham, I usually only check to make sure his shoes are tied, and that's good enough for me. I move on to my next check, and that is step 2, to make sure that the receiver clearly becomes a runner. Now, do you understand that concept?
Like, makes a football move?
No, they got rid of the football move because we had guys that was pretending to be the Heisman Trophy and saying that meant that they just caught a pass, and it didn't work that
way. Oh, okay.
But you might think, Tom, that all you have to do to become a runner is, you know, run, but it ain't simple like that. Before he runs, he has to get his feet down. So I have to watch his feet to see if they start running. If he's walking or he's just sort of leisurely jogging there or doing some kind of crab stuff side to side, I might call it incomplete. It's completely up to me. And again, if it's the Cleveland Browns, I have a lot of leeway.
Okay.
Then he has to possess the ball all the way to the ground to complete the catch. Now, this is what they call maybe a contradiction. It's kind of tricky because you can't run when you're on the ground. That's against the rules. That's called being tackled. But,
right.
But usually this means that when the man falls down, he has to hold the ball all the way down and never let it touch the ground.
Oh, God, I'm going to gouge out my eyeballs.
See, but then you can't be a runner because then it's incomplete unless you're doing that. See, like one time I was doing a Packer game, and Jordy Nelson, he had a ball come to him, and he possessed it, and then he turned and he ran about 200 steps. It was like 45 yards. He made all kinds of cuts and whatnot. And then the other team ran into him, and he fell down, and the ball came out. And the side judge, my friend Harvey ran in, and he picked it up. So you make the call, Tom. Is that a catch? Is that an incomplete pass, or is that something else?
Well, that's a catch.
Well, see, you'd have thought so. My crew and me, we huddled up, and I called it a fumble recovered by the side judge, you know, first down Harvey.
What? But,
well, the other guys, they thought about it, and they told me that they thought that we weren't supposed to be recovering fumbles and stuff. So I said, okay, and I came out of the huddle, and I called it incomplete because he did not complete the catch all the way to the ground. So then, of course, the Packers, they got to throw their challenge flag. And after further review, Tom, I determined that he possessed the ball, he become a runner, and then when he went to the ground, the ball bobbled, but he got touched, and then Harvey came in, and before Harvey picked it up, the defensive back nudged it with his foot, and, you know, I think that makes it fourth down or something. And depending where they were on the field, they might have to punt or something like that, and it wouldn't have been good for the Packers. So I looked back over my shoulder, and I saw that they was playing the Cleveland Browns, and I figured, you know, touchdown.
Right.
So, you know, everybody's happy.
Okay.
Most of the time, though, when we get confused, I just go to the old standby. We have a buzzer in our pocket, and I buzz whoever's farthest away from the play, and they just drop a flag on the field, and I can call illegal touching defense, 5 yards, first down.
Okay.
Yeah, it works. Everybody's happy. That's my favorite penalty. Yeah. Does that explain things for you? Is it clear now?
Sure.
Now, this is only good for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday games. If they got a Thursday night game, I'm not sure of the rules because I haven't worked one of them yet.
Okay. I think they're pretty much the same.
I watch him on TV, but that Phil Simms, he confuses me badly.
Why is that?
Because he's stupid. I mean, you ever listen to him? He don't make no sense. And he wears the same lavender shirt every damn week.
Well, let me ask you one more thing, Jerome.
Sure.
Have you had your vision tested? I would think referees get their vision tested. And what was your score?
Yeah. Well, we get them tested every year, but I don't know my score. I tell you, every time they send me to get tested, after they mail me the results, the paper's all fuzzy and blurry. And I think they got a busted printer or something.
That's got to be what it is, I'm sure.
I think so. Anyway, I got to get ready for the game, so I will talk to you guys whenever you call me again.
All right, well, if we come across any controversial calls in the playoffs, then maybe we'll give you a call about it, okay?
Just remember, illegal touching means we didn't see what the hell happened.
I got you. Okay, Jerome, you take care.
Bye.
John?
I knew it. Automatic first down on that shit.
John, come on, man. What the hell
that
happened?
Is an official. That is an NFL official.
That is unbelievable.
When he's not the gardener at some rich person's house.
All right. Well, I don't know where the officials were during the Carolina-New York Giants game. I think they were just enjoying the show as much as we were, to be honest, and they didn't want it to stop.
Well, I don't know. See, because during that game, I was watching my Washington Redskins trounce the crap out of the Bills and take over the NFC East.
Oh, God.
I know. I'm just going to be hard to live with, especially if we beat Philly.
Well, I'd rather it was you than them, that's for sure.
I tell you what, though. That game ended late. You know, it went long. So I did get to watch a good chunk of the fourth quarter.
Right,
and I got to see, of course, all of the stuff that Beckham was going through. And I watched one. What do they have? Like those fast replay shows that they have on NFL Network. I watched one of those. So I saw all the stuff that was going on, and I thought it was ridiculous.
Oh, it was stupid. It was all so dumb. Now here's the thing. Okay, so there's so many rumors flying, you know, about what Josh Norman was saying to Odell Beckham, and honestly, it really doesn't much matter. What he said,
Mickey Rourke went through it.
I know, but it doesn't justify what Beckham did. I mean, because this goes on all the time. Guys trying to get in other guys' heads, and they're saying all kinds of personal, nasty crap to him, and they got in Beckham's head. Simple as that. But
big time.
Here it was. You know, when they came out on the field, and here comes Josh Norman with a baseball bat in his hand. You know, he's all fired up.
Well, they all come out with bats. I mean, a lot of them come out with bats. It's a good thing to loosen up your back and your shoulders.
Well, it's a symbol. They've said it. It's a symbol. It means we hit hard. You know, we're going to hit a home run today and all of this. And yeah. Whoop-de-doo. And Reggie Bush used to do it when he was with the New Orleans Saints. And
it's a good exercise.
Yeah,
you notice,
yeah.
Okay. And you're right. It is a symbol. It sends a message. You notice they don't go out there stretching with dildos or anything.
Well, right, that's a good thing. So here comes Josh Norman, who also is known as Batman.
Okay.
And here comes Odell Beckham Jr. wearing his Joker shoes. He was the Joker.
He's also known as Faggot, right?
Right.
Or whatever they were calling him out there.
Yeah, that was one of the things. And of course, now Josh Norman has come out and said he never, ever said anything or called him anything like that. What else is he going to say? Of course he's going to deny it. You know, and I mean, so here, you know, we were anticipating this matchup. We couldn't wait to see it. I was looking forward to it just purely from who's going to get over on who. I didn't know it was going to be all this, so we got extra treat, you know.
Oh, absolutely. That was terrific. I mean, it couldn't have been better in terms of, for my purposes, in terms of fantasy. Beckham got his points for me, but he got shut out all damn day, and he got made to look like an ass.
Well, and you know, Cam Newton basically said, hey, shit happens.
You got a field full of alpha males. Right. You know, they're not going to be playing patty cake out there.
Right. No, right. They're not.
Exactly. You know, seriously, there is not a sport in the world, except maybe curling, where they don't try to get in your head in some form or another. And that's a big alpha male brutal sport, saying a couple of nasty things. Oh, calling him a name. Oh. Well, they called me a homo. So the baseball bat and the slur, right? They got in Odell Beckham's head more than I've seen anybody get in anybody else's head in a long time. And he shit the bed so hard that the people downstairs could smell it.
Oh, it was something, man. I mean, I don't know how many times he just, at the end of a play or when it didn't matter what he was doing, just turned and just, you know, we keep seeing the replay of the one where he goes helmet to helmet.
Oh, yeah.
But all the other ones, I mean, he was doing that the entire game. And real quick here, I want to play Panthers head coach Ron Rivera. He gets asked about the bat, and he actually brings it up and addresses it ahead of time. He gets out in front of it. Rivera did just to stay ahead of it was he said, okay, don't bring the bat on the field anymore. You know, he says big deal, but he's not going to let him bring the bat on the field anymore. So this reporter asked him a question about that.
You don't think there's anything wrong with the whole bat thing? Why end it?
Because I'm going to hear it if I don't. That's the truth of the matter. I mean, it's really what it is. I mean, I'm going to end up hearing it. So to avoid the situation, set of circumstances, let's just eliminate it. So that's what we're going to do. I mean, again, it's, you know, the no fun league for a reason.
That's why I wanted to play that clip. The no fun league. He said it. The coach of the Panthers just called it the no fun league.
Well, he'll get fined $1 million for that. You know, Roger Goodell will suspend him for 6 games next year. But that's the way it goes. The thing that I found the funniest about this entire episode between these two is that watching NFL Network afterwards for all the analysis from Deion Sanders talking about how this goes down, let me tell you, I got in a fight with Andre Rison, and I fell off my couch thinking, oh, my God, he actually thinks that was a fight.
I know, right?
You know, and I, a lot of it was kind of similar because, I mean, not necessarily the slap in the way that those two were, but Beckham kept trying to hit him in the head with his hands. Dude, you're a wide receiver. Right. He's wearing a helmet. What are you doing? That's the stupid thing. Why didn't Coughlin get out there? Oh, don't be so stupid. You look like a car washing mitt. Don't be so dumb.
Oh, hell. All right, now Josh Norman. You know, like I said, Josh Norman's Batman, and here comes Odell Beckham with his Joker shoes,
car wash mid head.
Josh Norman said he ain't Joker. That's Harvey Dent.
That's no Joker, man. That's no Joker. That's Harvey Dent. That's Two Face. I mean, that's who he is. I can respect the Joker because at least he'll give me a sweet contest. He'll give me a sweet epic battle. But that right there was a melee. As I said, that's Harvey Dent. I can respect a guy like that.
It was a melee, John. A melee.
It was a melee.
Yeah, he was on Mike and Mike saying that. And then Mike Francesa, he goes on this.
I heard about what he said.
Oh, man, from WFAN.
Yeah, he was hammering Coughlin.
Oh, he was hammering the Giants. He says they're guilty. They let Beckham go on and do all this.
Everybody who has any bit, any inkling, any iota of authority inside the Giants is guilty. They're guilty of letting this kid do whatever the heck he's wanted since the day he stepped on the field. They did this with Shockey and they ruined him. They're going to ruin this kid the same way. He's better than Shockey. He's much more talented than Shockey ever was. They ruined Shockey because they never said no to him. It's like a little kid. You don't say no, you're going to ruin the kid. They're going to ruin the player because they've let him now do whatever he wants. It's about him.
Yeah, well, duh. That's how it works when you're a big-time sports star and you make one big giant catch and everybody thinks you should be in the Hall of Fame when you're a rookie. I mean, the dude's spectacular. Let's face it. He makes some awesome catches. But how did they ruin Shockey?
They made him a homophobe?
Do you think there's any gay guys in the NFL?
I don't know. I don't like to think about that, man. I hope not. I don't know.
It's like, but even in college, did you ever, you know, you play a lot of teams. Did you ever deal with any gay guys in college that were on the football team?
No, I mean, if I knew there was a gay guy on my college football team, I probably wouldn't, you know, stand for it. So, I mean.
You wouldn't stand for it. What do you mean?
What'd you say?
How could you not stand for it? What are you talking about?
You know, I'm not going to let some kid in the football, you know, think, we're, you know, they're going to be in the shower with us and stuff. So I don't think so. That's not going to work. That's not going to work, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's got to, you know, listen. I mean.
What? Listen.
Hey, faggot!
Hey, what if he's a good player?
You know, I mean.
Put him in the girl shower.
There's two things that don't mix, football and faggots.
You think Shockey could play with Beckham after the rumors that are going around about him?
Right? I know, right? I will never get tired of that clip. Any excuse to play Jeremy Shockey on the Howard Stern show, man. That was I love it. Robin's like, what if he's a good player? And Howard's like, put him in the girl shower.
There is a girl shower. I guess there is. Hey, you remember early in the training camp when Cam Newton got in a fight? Remember
he got in a fight with his teammates in training camp?
Yep. He was out brawling on the field?
That's right.
It was Josh Norman he was going after.
Of course.
So I guess the dude does have a pretty good tongue when it comes to running his mouth.
Well, good. It's working. Yeah. It's working for him.
Absolutely. Hell yeah, man. And you know what? Odell Beckham just showed the entire league that he has no skin. He can't take it. He can't take it. You can get in his head like that? That was great.
All right. Well, now last week... it's funny because we were talking about Josh Norman and Rodney Harrison and their feud.
Mm, yeah.
And then we had the highlights of Beckham, and we were talking about how great he was, and then we were talking about how we couldn't wait to see these two go at it. And right. I said, Josh Norman will have a direct impact on your weekend because you own Odell Beckham Jr. in my fantasy league, and you were playing against the best team in the league. He was hands down, scored the most points, had the best record, was first place in your division, and you were playing him to go to the Super Bowl.
And guess who's in the Super Bowl? That's right. That's right. So I'm hoping that when they do their usual NFL suspension, we're going to suspend you for the first game next year.
Well, no, he's suspended for this weekend.
Did they? Because I haven't seen the decision. It's Wednesday evening, so I haven't seen what he said, because he had to go talk to James Thrash today, who is going to decide.
Yeah, he appealed. He appealed.
So it's for this weekend?
He appealed the suspension, and James Thrash said, no, you cannot do that. Your suspension is upheld. And he understood. Beckham even came out afterward, and he said, look, I only appealed because I owed that to my teammates to try to do everything I could to be on the field for them this week. He goes, I know what I did was wrong, and I apologize to my teammates, to my coach, the Giants organization, and all NFL fans for what I did. And yes, he is not playing this weekend, John.
That's bullshit. See, he's lying. What it should say when he gets up there in front of those microphones, Tom, is he should say, I'm a New York Giant. I'm a subhuman. Hardly any could possibly even have a brainwave that could go through my head. And Tom Coughlin told me to go out there on the field and do this so that I would get suspended just to fuck John Taman in his championship game next weekend.
Against me.
That's right. Where's that Earl Weaver clip? You know why you do this? To fuck us. To fuck me. Damn it. So now who am I going to start? I got to go look in my – I got some depth at wide receiver. I might have to pull
– Do you?
What's his name? Terrence Williams up.
Terrence Williams? Terrence Williams?
Dude, the Cowboys looked awful the other night.
Man.
I know. It's not like you're watching the Redskins go ahead and win the division if they beat the Eagles.
Well, you still got –
We got to go up to Philly and win.
Yeah, and you still got the tight end there from the Redskins.
Jordan Reed.
Yeah, he's on fire.
Who somehow is not in the Pro Bowl except as an alternate.
And you still got Julio Jones. Of course, Julio Jones is facing Josh Norman.
Oh, I know, man. It's lining up against me. And you told me last week, go ahead and start Fozzie Newsom.
Oh, God. Fozzie Newsom.
Fozzie Whitaker.
Fozzie Newsom.
Waka, waka, waka. I'm a tight end.
Yeah, I was wrong. I was definitely wrong about that one.
Well, the other dude for the Seahawks didn't do much either. And this, as it turns out, Alfred Morris, who I finally parted ways with, had a pretty good game.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to play each other this week, and this is for everything. But, hey, look, either way, we're each guaranteed at least $300, so that's good.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with that.
You know, but
and
this
I'll tell
is
you
fun.
What, man. I've had a good season, I think. I did pretty well with it. I had to manage that roster because I had some injuries and shit.
You definitely did.
Oh, my God. Everybody had injuries this year. It was ridiculous.
Not like me, man. I was a fucking genius. And now I'm in the championship. Suck on that, Beantown Bashers.
All right. Speaking of fantasy football, you know, well, Snoop Dogg is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Right.
But he was heavily invested in Sunday night's game between Arizona and Philadelphia because of fantasy football.
Right.
His opponent had the Cardinals defense. All right, let me see here. Right. I'm looking at this. Man, it ended up being a 3-point game. He lost his game by 3 points.
Okay, I was going to say, because we weren't watching the same Eagles-Cardinals game if it was a 3-point game.
No. He lost his fantasy game by 3 points. He had Kirk Cousins. He started Kirk Cousins and got 43 out of him. That's crazy.
Dude, I tell you what, I don't want to brag, but the dude, he's been playing lights out football lately.
He has. Absolutely.
70% completion percentage, 15 games into the season. Dude's got almost 500 pass attempts. He's 70%.
I think you should pick him up and start him.
No, I think I'm going to stick with Ben Roethlisberger this week. Thank you.
hell, it was worth a try. Anyway, he had good players. I mean, he even had Tavon Austin in, got him 19. And so he was ahead going into that game, right?
Right.
And so this guy's got the Cardinals defense. Well, they got the guy 18 points. Philadelphia turned the ball over 4 times. They threw a pick 6, and they got beat 40-17. So Snoop Dogg got beat because the Eagles suck, and he's going to let them know about it.
Man, I'm so motherfucking hot. These sorry-ass fucking Eagles can't even get me 1 or 2 points so I can win my fantasy league and go to the Super Bowl. Sorry ass fucking Eagles, cuz they suck fucking cock. Feel for you Philadelphia fans. These motherfuckers sorry. Chip Kelly, kill yourself, you dumbass coach. Sorry as fuck, cuz. If you get dropped down to fucking little league football, you sorry motherfucker. Cost me my fucking fantasy, cuz. I'm so fucking pissed off.
Snoop, man.
And at what point did he put on the shower cap?
Oh, he had it on the whole time. He had it on a shower cap on the whole time. I don't get that. I don't know what that's about.
They used to wear it for a jerry curl. All right. I used to work on job sites all the time with guys that would have shower caps on all day because they had that jerry curl juice in their hair.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he's got a jerry curl or not. But he sounds like a much more mellow, eat that pussy guy. Right.
Right.
He would have been like, suck my dick, Chip Kelly! Motherfucker! He says the same exact stuff. He just says it much more mellow.
Yeah!
Ooh! Yeah. Ooh! Ooh, to dizzle.
I don't give a fuck.
So, Snoop lost, and he's out, and he's pissed.
Oh, well, for Snoop. I mean, I guess he'll just have to go in the other room where he keeps his kilos and roll himself another one.
Yeah.
Dang. I feel you, Snoop. Odell Beckham fucked me. They did that just to fuck me.
Yeah, Odell still had a pretty decent game. I was impressed.
I'm going to go ahead and call it.
That was the first time somebody scored on Josh since week one.
Yeah, I mean, he got off in the fourth quarter, but up until that point, he had nothing. I mean, he had Josh Norman's ear hole imprinted on his forehead, but that was about it.
So the week wrapped up with Monday Night Football, and Matthew Stafford's wife... was going to go to the game. It was Detroit at New Orleans, and she's going to go to the game. She even bought her tickets.
Okay, oh, she bought tickets.
Well, she bought 5. I don't know what their allowance is, how many tickets they get, whatever. But she bought 5.
Okay. You could give them each $10,000. Nobody goes to those goddamn games.
So Kelly Stafford, that's her name. She's been under fire on social media because she went on StubHub. People saw that she posted on StubHub that she had 5 tickets for sale to the game. And people were like, "Well, your husband, makes close to $100 million. She should have given her tickets away to fans for free."
Oh yeah, she should just give things away.
Right. Well, she came back on Instagram and she said, I bought those New Orleans tickets to take my family to the game, but I found out at the beginning of this week my grandfather's very ill, so I decided to go home to see him instead, and she put them up for sale on StubHub. Well, if they were comp tickets, that she got because her husband plays football, that's one thing. You know, to sell those right. would be wrong. But she bought these tickets. She can't go to the game. I don't care if you're a billionaire. I don't have to go. I mean, what, you know, boy, these got to be liberals, right, that are coming at her?
How many tweets do you think she got that said, fuck your dad, I hope he dies?
Oh, my God. It was her grandfather.
Well, how many tweets do you think she got? How many shots on her Facebook page like that?
I know. I'm sure. People are assholes.
Yeah, easily.
But I don't understand that. I mean, people have some serious nerve, man. It's like, oh, dude, you have money. You should give it away. I'm sorry.
You should just give me whatever you have because you can't use it. Just give it to me. Hey, you're not driving your car right now. Give it to me.
That's Obama for you, man. Obama's put that in people's heads.
I'm telling you, man. It's about time we get this Kenyan Muslim on out of here. Look, the other main reason last week that people got upset on social media at Kelly Stafford was because she took a picture of her bathroom and her toilet paper wasn't draped over the top of the roll. It went down underneath.
Right.
So people were outraged.
Right, and they wanted to fight her in a boxing ring, but they didn't care what she thought.
Of course, Donald Trump set him straight. Those goddamn Mexicans fixing up the bathroom. She's rich. You know, she doesn't do her own house cleaning. You've got to train them right, Kelly. You've got to teach them. It goes over the top. When I'm president, we'll build a wall, and you're not going to be able to get in until you can demonstrate proper toilet roll etiquette.
Man, I tell you what, he just might be president, John. He just might be. Really?
Nah, because he's polling 30% of the Republicans, which is only about, shit, freaking 12% of the population, 15% of the population.
Yeah, but we're just talking about, that's just the primary, man. When it comes down to him and Hillary, we're either getting Donald Trump or we're getting the first woman president. One of the two.
Oh, yeah, my, yeah, my, yeah.
Right?
Oh, Canada, or whatever native land, you have maple syrup and a bunch of guys who say, hey, oh, Canada.
I like Donald Trump just for the entertainment value.
Shit, he's getting to be less and less entertaining, man. It's almost getting to be a weekly occurrence. You get a freaking article about people getting beat up at his rallies and shit.
That's funny.
We've seen that before, haven't we?
Yes.
He used to make lots of movies about it.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Speaking of Stafford and Detroit, let's rewind in time just a little bit. And you know, our buddy Matt Millen used to run that team.
He ran it quite well, straight in. I mean, well, he ran it in the style of Detroit.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know what made him do this all of a sudden, because we always tell everybody, and we talked about this last week, don't apologize. Never apologize. Well, he's going to apologize for being a terrible Lions general manager.
What?
Listen.
A little bit of a tactical error on my part, boys. I had this fleeting dream that I thought maybe I could run a team. Sorry, Detroit. It didn't quite work out.
Oh, my God.
He got drunk. You know, you guys are all right. I'm really sorry that I fucked everything up. Hey, listen, I'm real sorry, guys. I fucked up the Lions, totally. And I mean, you know, before me, they had a tremendous winning tradition there. I mean, the city was a thriving hub of commerce and trade, you know. Couple of bust wide receivers later, and the whole place is a crap hole. It's all my fault. Tell you what, though, there, Tom, ever since they got rid of me, they're doing a whole lot better, right? What are they now, 5-9? Yeah, they're doing great. Sorry.
They still got the wide receiver you drafted, Matt.
That's right. The guy I drafted. If you'd have given me another 10 years, I would have won, I don't know, 12 or 13 games or something like that. Hey, this is what you get when you hire a middle linebacker to be your coach. I mean, I spent my entire football career slamming my head into guys. So, you know, what did you think I was going to do? I always wished I was a wide receiver, Tom. That's the truth of the matter. I always wanted to be one, so I drafted every one of them I could find.
Oh, man. So here we are. We're a couple days away from Christmas. Did you buy any boomerang gifts?
No. What is a boomerang gift?
Oh, you don't. Oh, a boomerang gift is.
No, I don't know anything about this. I've been so buried with work, man.
A boomerang gift is a gift that you give someone that really benefits you.
So, okay, it's like giving your wife lingerie.
That is the number one boomerang gift.
See where my brain goes. See, I can remember when Fred Flintstone gave Wilma a bowling ball.
It is the ultimate boomerang gift, is giving your woman lingerie. By the way, she does not want lingerie for Christmas.
Yes, she does.
No, she doesn't. Over 60% of women don't even want you anywhere near the buying process.
Really?
No.
See, now, I can tell you who's not going to be listening to this podcast until December 26th.
Nope, they don't want you to. Because when they open it up, they go, all right, thanks for the Christmas present for you. You know, it's insulting to them.
Well, wait a minute. Now, if you're not very good at it, I guess it is. But, you know, they get to play too, right?
Okay, John.
Come on. Hey. I have letters of authenticity.
You know, if you bring it home on a Wednesday, just a regular old Wednesday in March, and you say, hey, I thought you'd look really sexy in this, that's all right. But when you give it to them as a Christmas present that they didn't ask for, they don't like it.
I don't know about all of that. So what happens if you get yourself something to wear like that and you show it off like Christmas night?
Well, there you go. That's okay.
Take a look at my Yule log here, dear.
Check out that sock.
You get yourself one of those things that Borat would wear.
And then they go, you know what? The holidays are exhausting. I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
So what kind of boomerang gift do you... See, is a cookbook a boomerang gift?
Oh, God. Yeah, I guess it could be. Could be. It could be. But no, like if you bought your wife tickets to a concert to see a band that you loved, or tickets on a cruise, or tickets to a football game, or you know what I mean? Those are boomerang gifts. So,
well, you know, I think my wife would enjoy accompanying me to a football game, especially when the Washington Redskins are in first place. And we're going to get a home playoff game if we win this week.
So, hey, you know, for years, you only worked for yourself. I know you've been doing some work for this company. Did you guys have a Christmas party?
Yeah, we had a Christmas party. As a matter of fact, somewhere out there on the internet is a picture of me in my stupid Christmas sweater that I made out of all kinds of stupid ornaments and whatnot.
What?
They had an ugly sweater thing, so I didn't have one, so I had to make one.
Dude, they got NFL ugly sweaters now.
Oh, well.
You should have got a Redskins ugly sweater.
They're all ugly, dude. I don't wear red or gold well.
I understand.
When it comes to me there. Anyway.
Was there any hanky panky going on at the Christmas party?
Hell no.
No?
Not in my office. No, it's not an office like that. We don't have a very big staff. There's only like 12 or 13 of us that were there.
Oh, well, you're the weird ones then.
I guess. Oh, well, I'm sure everybody else does. I mean, somebody else might have, I don't know, cuz I usually stay in my dark little hole with my headphones on and make sure everybody feels uncomfortable coming into my office.
Well, a new survey found that over half of people, more than 50%, have sucked face with one of their coworkers at the company Christmas party. And
really?
39% of those people had sex at the party.
Really?
At the party, that many?
Wow, that's a lot of people, man. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to say anything because some of my coworkers listen to that podcast, and I'm not going to insult any of them.
Well, the most common place to do it is in the parking lot, and second is the conference room.
Well, the conference room was the site of the party,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not, like I said, I'm just going to steer clear of this because, frankly, I don't find any of my coworkers all that attractive.
Well, what's funny is the department with people most likely to hook up at the Christmas party is the IT department.
Well, of course, because they are the ones that have the direct access to the pornography that can get the women in the mood once they've had some punch.
Oh. Is that one of
the passwords?
Okay. Oh, man.
The IT department.
Hey,
want to come down here and see my servers?
The legal department came in second, and the HR department came in third. And those two groups, the legal department and the HR department, ought to know better when you think about it.
They just know ways around it.
Right.
That's all. And, you know, the legal department is generally fucking everybody anyway, so I don't see what the big deal is.
Hey, your thoughts on the band Rush?
Lush.
Rush.
Oh, Rush.
Rush.
Rush or Lush?
Rush. You know, Tom Sawyer, Rush. Limelight.
I liked them way back when.
Right.
And I don't necessarily care for too much of them after Moving Pictures. Right. I really like Permanent Waves a lot, and I like their stuff prior to Permanent Waves. I think All the World's a Stage is a great, great, great live album.
Yep.
And other than that, I think that one of the things that pushed me to punk rock in the late 70s was the fact that I went and saw Rush a couple of times. And both times they were really good, but the crowd got to be progressively snotty. And I was like, you know what? Fuck this. Let me go someplace that's got a little bit of life. And that's kind of where it went.
Oh, I'm going to see a band at Rock on the Range in May that you may like or have liked called Pennywise.
Okay, I've heard them.
Okay. I know they're pretty crazy live, and everybody says, wait till you see these guys live. It's unbelievable. I said, okay, I will look forward to that. I know they're pretty punky, so I thought they'd be a band you were into. Anyway.
Right. I mean, you know, I tell you what, I've been listening to a lot more retro shit lately.
Oh, okay.
Rockabilly and whatnot.
I got you.
Stuff that you got to use your freaking pomade in your hair for.
Well, I was just going to mention that Rush is hanging it up. They are finished up their 40th anniversary tour. 40 years, wow. Man. These guys have been at it.
I'm not surprised. They are very talented, but I'm going to commit a blasphemy.
Oh, God.
Neil Peart is not the best drummer I've ever seen.
Okay.
He was great. But Stuart Copeland from The Police, that dude was fucking awesome.
He was awesome, no question. Well, anyway, I just wanted to mention that Alex Lifeson, the guitarist, he's got psoriatic arthritis, and Neil Peart has chronic tendonitis, which definitely is going to be a problem for a drummer.
Ooh. Yeah,
you know. Neil said his dad is a retired drummer, and he said, "quote It does not pain me to realize that, like all athletes, there comes a time to take yourself out of the game." And it's
you got to do it.
Yeah. So,
you know, if you're lucky, you go up to whatever it is, wherever they play the Grey Cup, and you can come out of the tunnel like Ray Lewis, and they'll give you a piece of turf, and, you know, you can throw it around like an idiot.
Right.
That's how it goes. Or you can cry, like so many of them do.
All right. So here we are, Saturday night. Your damn Redskins are still alive. My Cowboys are out. You're playing for the division. I'm sorry. Is the game at Philly or at Washington?
It's in Philly.
So you got back-to-back division road games to end the season.
Yes. Yes. And we have just now, this week, with the defeat of the Buffalo Bills, the single most racist name in all of sports, by the way, with the defeat of the Buffalo Bills, that's the first time that we have won two games in a row all season long.
And from what I understand, if you win either one of these games, you clinch the division. Is that correct?
Yeah, we beat Philly, and that's it. We're done. We can start resting guys at 7-9 or at 8-7. We can start resting guys.
That's hilarious.
That's pretty funny. Oh, you know, aside from the fact that we've just now won our first set of consecutive games, we won our first game on the road 2 weeks ago against the Bears. So, remember we were talking about the Cowboys and Redskins a couple weeks ago, and I said that I was not surprised by what happened, even though everybody else on the planet seemed to be, because this shit just happens, all right? I've seen Philly do this to us, too, and I've seen it the other way around. We've gone up in Philly when they don't expect it and bamboozled them. So, if the Redskins don't win this weekend, don't look at me to be surprised.
Well, you better win this weekend because you got to face Kellen Moore after that.
Yeah, well, I mean, Kellen Moore. He looked good for about 2 minutes, didn't he? You guys were like, oh, sure, why not? Let's go.
I don't,
it's got to change here.
Not that it matters. It doesn't even matter, man. Come on. Tony Romo is going to be back next year, and Johnny Manziel is going to be his backup, waiting to be the starter. So what difference does it make?
Johnny Manziel, he is going to be the first person in history, Tom, to be fined for having 26 men and 14 women in the huddle after one of his first down celebrations gets out of hand. All right, that was one of my prediction tweets from last week. So if you're not following us on Twitter, at Bang Radio Hour, you'll get to hear all our fun predictions at the end of the game. I mean, at the beginning of the game, because predicting it at the end of the game doesn't really make much sense, does it? Shit, no wonder I'm 100%.
Well, I love it, because Johnny's going to go to Dallas, and I'm going to say, hey, Bang's a fan of the Dallas quarterback.
Oh, I won't be a fan at that point, but I do think he can play. I do think he can play, and the Browns are going to fuck it all up once again.
He's not a Brown.
He's not a Brown, John.
He's not a Brown.
Some drunken bum.
That's right. He couldn't make a daughter that can hold Lexi's even her nipple rings. I'll tell you what. Bernie Kosar, that's a guy.
Right.
Right. Daughter's a porn star. Drunken alcoholic. That's a Brown. He's one of the elite. You tell him, Gatorade boy.
You got a score? What do you think the score is going to be Saturday night?
The Redskins game?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. If Kirk Cousins plays the way he's been playing, I'm
just
gonna go
give
ahead
me
and
a
say
score.
Redskins 27, Philadelphia Eagles 16.
I think the Redskins can score a lot more points than that.
I hope so. We tend to sometimes when we're on the road, we get stupid.
Well, that's true. You have been very not so good on the road this year.
No, and see, that's the thing. It's like it gets in their head. They go up to New England. They drop five passes in a row in the first half. The first pass of the game goes right off somebody's hands directly. I mean, it's right in his hands. It's Garcon, and he hands it to the defensive back. So, and we get stupid on the road. We commit penalties, all kinds of shit. So we'll see. We'll see. I hope so. I'd like Snoop Dogg to come on and explain why Chip Kelly's a piece of shit again.
It's right. Man, I'm so motherfucking hot. These sorry-ass fucking Eagles can't even get me 1 or 2 points so I can win my fantasy league and go to the Super Bowl. Sorry-ass fucking Eagles, cuz they suck fucking cock. Feel for you Philadelphia fans. These motherfuckers sorry. Chip Kelly, kill yourself, you dumbass coach. Sorry as fuck, cuz. You need to get dropped down to fucking Little League football, you sorry motherfucker. Cost me my fucking fantasy, cuz. I'm so fucking pissed off.
Now, isn't he a USC fan, too? So he really has no love for Chip Kelly.
Oh, yeah, USC and Pittsburgh.
One of them, I got to find out which one it is. One of the Eagles was talking shit on Monday about the Redskins, ready to freaking beat the hell out of us and beat our ass. And I'm thinking, dude, you still have traces of foot in your ass from last night. Not even traces. There's probably a doctor still rooting around in your ass to get the fucking Cardinals' shoes out of there. You should at least wait till the operation's over before you start talking shit.
Chip Kelly, kill yourself, you dumbass coach. Sorry ass fucking Eagles.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Right. Right. Now, see, I watched the first half because, you know, I'm old and I got to get up in the morning, so I didn't get to watch the whole game. But what I was watching was John Brown drop pass after pass after
pass.
And then turns out he had a great fucking game.
Yep.
So it's like, damn. You just can't stop him.
All right. Well, we said everything last week. Have an awesome Christmas. I'm getting ready for the Griswold family Christmas at my house, John. 3 days in a row, family at my house. Christmas Eve, Christmas
see,
Day, and the day
days
after.
Out somewhere else.
Yeah,
my Christmas is driving, so I'll be driving to one set of houses, and then on New Year's Day, I'm driving to another. So I'm not even going to get to watch the fucking bowl playoffs, man.
Oh no!
I'm going to tape them. That's how old I am. I'm going to DVR them, and then I'm going to try to watch them without knowing.
The playoffs are New Year's Eve.
Yeah, well, New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
I thought it was New Year's Day.
No, the playoffs, the two playoff games are New Year's Eve.
Well, hot damn, how's that for serendipity? I get to watch them after all.
There you go.
New Year's Day.
But the Buckeye game that you want to see is New Year's Day.
No, the Buckeye game the Penn State game I want to see is New Year's Day. But I'm not going to see that. The next day I'm going to be home in time to watch the Redskins and the Cowboys.
Very good.
So I'm all set. I'll just be flying up and down Route 95.
Well, hopefully I'll talk to you before that.
Yeah, so have a Merry Christmas.
You too, man. We'll do it again next time.
Later.
Listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still, yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
With rapid insurance on Vodafone Business, we'll get a replacement phone to you within 4 hours. So if you should...
Oh, no.
Or even... Just get in touch and we'll...
Your replacement phone, sir.
Your phone replaced within 4 hours with our rapid insurance. Available on our new and limited data plans. The future is exciting. Ready? Vodafone Business.
Max download upload speeds apply to data. Coverage may vary. Unlimited and rapid terms at vodafone.co.uk/terms.